If you will, take your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. We have begun a little series of messages on walking worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Notice, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We had looked last time how the Apostle Paul had laid down the case for the acceptance and the authority given to his church. That those who were Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, black and white, makes no difference, that when they had put their trust in Christ, God brought them all together and made one body and gave them the power of the Spirit of God and a common salvation. And God had given them a great calling to go and tell the world of this great, powerful gospel of Christ, and how that God saves the sinner who will call upon him in faith. And listen, that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you and cleanse you from sin, and God will give you eternal life. And so we all have this great vocation, this great calling. The Apostle Paul now gets practical, and there are some things that will benefit, that will certainly assist and will help us in this calling. And one of those is that we might walk worthy of our vocation. Walk worthy of our calling. What do you call yourself today? Do you call yourself a Christian? Then in simple terms, if you are one, be one. Okay, in simple terms. In other words, it gives a lot of more impact to your voice, to your profession, to your testimony, if your walk goes hand in hand with your word. Amen? And so the Apostle Paul wants the church to manifest the great power of God as they go forth in the gospel, and how vital it is to impact our world, that when we tell people Jesus will change you, that we show them the change he's brought in us. And so he says, walk worthy of this vocation. Now, you and I look through the scripture, we find this word worthy comes from a root word that we use, the word meet, M-E-E-T, and it means to really give forth the evidence, that which is suitable and appropriate. In other words, how Christians ought to live, how they ought to act, how they ought to talk, how they ought to look like. Listen, they ought to be Christians in all manner of conversation. As Peter wrote, be holy in all manner of conversation. And so we begin looking at this word meet, which means suitable. What is it to walk worthy? Well, the Apostle Paul made several comments through the scriptures when he saw people who gave a real testimony that they were the genuine thing. They were the real thing. And there are some evidences from what he said that kind of indicate what is this worthy walk. What is this worthy walk that God wants of me if I truly profess to be one of his own, a saved Christian, a believer? There ought to be evidence. We saw last time Philippians, we found the word meet in Philippians chapter 1, and here's what he said. He had confidence that they were eternally saved. And he said, it was meet for me to think this of you all from your fellowship in the gospel from the first day to now. He said, I noticed that you have a partnership with me, that we are bound together, that we have a common bond. It's not because we live in the same town. It's not because, listen, we all have a relationship. We go back and we're all kind of distant cousins. It's more than the fact that we live in the same community, or that we're religious people, or that, well, you know, we all kind of gather around that church we were raised up in. No, that's not what bound them together. The Apostle Paul said, that is meet for me. It is suitable, appropriate for me to think that you're the real thing, because I know what binds you to me and what binds us together. And it's not religion. It's not the church. Now listen, what binds us together is this common salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You proclaim it, you preach it, and you partnered with it to support me because you believe in the gospel of Christ. Listen, not just religion, not just good works, not being just a good person, not being a good humanitarian, not being a good old boy. You have partnered with me. We have a fellowship because we believe in the gospel. And so Paul said, you know what? That's a good sign you're the real deal. Amen. Because you know what this is all about. It ain't about church. It ain't about your good works. It ain't about your membership. It ain't about your baptism. It ain't about all the flowery things you do. It's for one reason: Jesus Christ died on a cross to save our soul. And listen, came out of the grave triumphant. He is the Lord. He's the Savior. He gives eternal life. We put faith in Him. And He said, you got it. You got it nailed down. And that's what binds us together. See, that's a good sign you're the real deal when you're grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I hope you got that grounded. Is it grounded? How are you going to tell somebody how to get saved if you ain't sure yourself? Amen? I'll tell you now, you ain't. Plain and simple. And so he said, it's meet, it's suitable. In other words, that's worthy of a Christian. That's a worthy walk when he has this thing of the gospel nailed down and knows what it's all about. Listen. The main thing needs to be the main thing. And that's got to be central. It's got to be our focus. It is our message. It's what we stand for. It's what gives us distinction from the religions and idolatries of the world. We have a message. It's a saving message. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I better move on. I'm going to preach it again. All right. Now, number two, I find in our text, if you look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we find this word meet, which means appropriate, suitable, the word we get for worthy. How do I walk worthy of the vocation I'm called? Well, Paul said, here's something else he saw. Here's something else he said, which is commendable. It is suitable. It's appropriate for the Christian, for the saved. In 2 Timothy, notice in chapter number 2, and come down to verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and, here's our word, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so notice here, he takes this word meet, that word which is suitable, appropriate, that which is worthy of the profession which you're called. If you call yourself a Christian, it would be suitable, it would be meet, it would be worthy for you to see yourself as a vessel. A vessel. A vessel that would be suitable, worthy, or meet for the master's use. Now, here's what he's told me. The real thing is to see yourself as a vessel. Now, what is a vessel? A vessel is simply a broad word for a container. All right? You have your kitchen. You have many things that are vessels. And what distinguishes them is that you can put stuff in it and it don't pour out all over the floor. Okay? And so a vessel is designated to contain things. Right? It is designated to contain good things, valuable things, things of important substance. And so we take vessels, all right? Last night, Rhonda was craving sweet tea. And so I made her sweet tea. She said, I left the pitcher at church. That's all right. I found a suitable vessel to put the tea in, okay? I knew it wouldn't leak. I knew it held at least 2 quarts. It was a mixing bowl. And don't put it in. You put stuff in vessels that didn't always look that suitable. But it held the right amount, had 2 quarts, and it worked, okay? It kept me from having to drive back to church and back. So it was a suitable vessel for the occasion. And so we put things important, things that are good, things that are precious, we put them in vessels, containers. The highest potential of a vessel, first of all, is to be filled. The secondly is to be poured out or emptied. Right? That's the purpose of a vessel. Listen, it'd be foolish to fill it all up and then you not do anything with it. It's to be used. That's why we have a vessel. And so, its highest calling is not to simply sit on a shelf. Now, I know you have stuff just set aside for company. Okay? Because you want them to feel special. All it does is make them feel nervous. Okay? Because this is obviously expensive. And if it's expensive, it's always fragile. Why is that? Huh? Why can't they put a silver band on something solid? Right? Why does it have to be on this glass that is about 1/16th of an inch thick, and you know if you breathe on that thing, it's going to break. I don't know. I guess so they can sell more. But anyway, and listen, that's not the highest potential of a vessel. A vessel doesn't have honor if you're not going to use it. Okay? It's being honored by being used, you see. Listen, God wants to use you as a vessel of honor, and that vessel needs to be used. And so, what do we need? We need to be available for God to fill so that we can be poured out. That's the simple terms of what a vessel is. It is to reserve and preserve that which is supplied from a greater source. Some of y'all ain't got that yet. It's to be filled, from a greater source. Right? In other words, you take a glass and you have a greater source that you put in the glass. So you turn on the spigot was connected to a whole well of water. And listen, you fill up what it is able to contain and you use it. If you're not going to drink much, you take a little glass. If you're going to drink a lot, you take a big glass. You have a glass you drink out of in February, a glass you drink out of in July. There's a difference between the two. Okay? And I like to drink my coffee out of styrofoam. Okay? And forgive me if you think that's stupid, but it keeps it hotter. And I like to draw it out a little longer. Okay? And the coffee we get out of drip machines is not near as hot as it used to be when I was a kid. We got out of a percolator. Okay? Percolator, you could drink it half hour because the first 5 minutes it's scalding. So you just had to take a look. Back in those days, we sipped. If you get something out of a percolator, you know why we sipped it. Okay? Because it'll set you on fire. Anyway, I like it out of styrofoam. But the other day, they didn't have the 16-ounce. So I had to buy the 20-ounce. I don't like those because I don't drink that 20 ounces of coffee. And so it's only half full. So I was a little irritated. It only cost $2, so I got over. But anyway, I didn't like drinking out of them because, you know, it's so big and I don't have that much coffee. And then I won't buy the 8-ounce because that ain't nowhere near enough. What are you going to put in that? I mean, that ain't enough. And so that's a few of my personal pet peeves. My wife will tell you I'm not that high on maintenance. Okay. And so if it's something I want to die about and say, take care of myself. But anyway, we all have our particulars and that's one of mine. Listen, but we choose a vessel appropriate for its use. And listen, its highest calling is to be filled so they can be empty. And so it is to preserve. It is to have some integrity. That stuff doesn't pour out of it. Y'all know what it's like when you put that lid on that thing to keep it hot. You go to drink coffee, pour it down your shirt. Because the lid thing did not connect properly. And because it wasn't the right lid. You can't find the right lid to go on the mug. And you go to take up that first sip of the little hole, it comes out of the little seam, and it just rolls down your shirt. Okay? And so, I'm not going to choose that one ever again. Unless that issue is solved, maybe. Because I don't like to wear my coffee, I like to drink it. Right? And so, a vessel has to have integrity. If it pours all over you and pours out the ground, then it's not going to be a vessel of honor. Right? So, listen. Its purpose is to be used. It is a container from a greater source. It is to assist and secure the refreshment of life. And so it's available to assist me. I need stuff to drink to live. I can use my hand, but I'd rather use a vessel, Brother Tim. Right? because it is suitable and it's appropriate, and listen, becomes a blessing and an assistant and help me in taking of the refreshment of life. And God now is calling the believer his vessel. Now listen, what is the vessel filled with? Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. The context here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency and the power of God may be of God and not of us. What are we filled with? We are filled with the Word of God. We are filled with the gospel. We are filled with the Spirit of God as a vessel. And a vessel is to be used in order to be poured out as the refreshment of the glorious message of God given to thirsty and parched souls, listen, who need some help and need the blessing of God and need to hear God's precious Word. God chooses vessels and fills them, and those vessels need to have integrity in order to be a blessing. And so here's what he says in that context. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience out of God. Now, here's what he's saying. God has called you, and you have a vocation. And listen, when that worthy walk is seen in relationship to a vessel, listen, God pours precious things into your life. And here's what Paul is saying. What's been poured in earthen vessel, that is your life, is precious. It is a treasure. And listen, it is pure when it's put in your vessel. Now, whatever I'm going to drink, though, Jim, I want it poured in there, and I don't want no surprises. Okay? My mama used to clean out the refrigerator vegetable soup. And it was a compilation of whatever had not been eaten during the week. And so we would take the spoon. I'd recognize most of it. Had that Wednesday, had that Monday night, had that Thursday morning. But when I finally had to make a comment, it was a chicken bone that had been mostly eaten, floating by. And I said, Mama, there has to be a limit set on this thing sometime. A half-eaten chicken thigh just floated by in my bowl. There has to be some limitation for the clean out, the refrigerator vegetables. Got to be some limitation. And so, you know what happened from then on? When we got to the table, we would inspect it. I'm looking for eggshells, beets, you know, other stuff, foreign objects, just checking it out. You never know what's going to be. What I'm saying is this. What God puts in you is pure, and he wants it to stay that way. And so, here's what he's saying. A vessel of honor has got to be a clean vessel. You know why? Because it will contaminate what God puts in there. And secondly, it needs to be an empty vessel so that it can be filled what he puts in, not filled with something left over from others. Right? It's got to have some character so that it don't spill out, because it's precious. And because it's to be preserved in that vessel. And so here's what God does. He takes a clean vessel, Brother Cliff, because he don't want no contamination. He don't need your assistance. He's going to put the Word of God in, and you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to pour the Word of God out. He don't want any additions or subtractions and any kind of dirt floating around. Right? And so we are to be a vessel, but we are to be a vessel that is worthy. A clean vessel does not contaminate the purity and power of the Word of God. Now listen, here is a vessel of honor. It is a vessel in which God can pour in the truth. God can pour in the Word. And as He poured it in, it also was poured out. What is a vessel of dishonor? It's a vessel that has been poured in. However, it's been mixed with other things. When I was up north, I got excited because they were going to serve strawberry pie. Who put this nasty bitter stuff in it? Called rhubarb. I said, that is sacrilege. Y'all have destroyed a perfectly good strawberry pie by putting rhubarb in it. I didn't know what it was and didn't like the sound of it. I was from Georgia. You know, I knew a rhubarb, but he lived down the road. But I had never tasted it. And so I gave it a good shot. As far as I'm concerned, no offense, it ruined a perfectly good strawberry pie, as far as I was concerned. And I didn't appreciate, nor did I ever cotton to, the combination as long as I was there. It just didn't do it for me. You see, a vessel of dishonor, here's what happens. God pours in the Word, however, it becomes contaminated with the watered-down versions of men. To be a vessel of honor, to walk worthy of the vocation where you're called, listen, is to receive the Word of God without making additions or subtractions according to the contamination of the lust of our flesh. Sadly, we're living in a day where so much of it is watered down versions of men rather than the Word of God. Listen, the corruption of fleshly desire kind of mixed along, the bitter flavor of iniquity added to it. Listen, even the devil quoted the Word of God, but he took it out of context with an evil intent. And so, listen, for you and I to be worthy vessel, it is to be filled with the Word of God, with the Spirit without compromise, a soul that it pours forth as God intended. It is a worthy vessel that it has to have character and stability, a soul that it doesn't easily tip over. You probably, like me, despise a vessel of any kind that is unstable when you go to set the thing down. I want something that is not easily tipped over. I don't want something when I set it down, it rocks for a minute, not sure whether it's going to spill. I want something that has some stability to it. And so God takes the vessel, He fills the vessel, and He wants some character and cleanliness in the vessel so that what He puts in is also what comes out. I'm afraid today we have many vessels who become dishonorable because, listen, they have added the wisdom of men. They've added their own reasoning. They have sought to be in compliance and seek a compromise with the demands of the world. And so they took the Word of God in, but that ain't what came out. We're living in a day of perversions of men that's spew forth things that have opened the door, listen, for an attack upon sound the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes here in this context to Timothy. He said, I want you to be a vessel of honor that is meet, that is suitable for the master's use, to be clean and have some character and integrity so that when God pours something in, that's what comes out. A soul that it might be an instrument not that adds to or takes away, but simply brings forth that which God has said that sinners in, thus saith the Lord. And so, as I look here, I find in this text of Scripture that he writes here to Timothy that we are to be people who study, verse 15, show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is, that we are to compare Scripture with Scripture. Peter said that no Scripture is of any private interpretation. That doesn't mean you don't get to interpret the Scripture as you read it. It means you don't take any Scripture and make it stand alone. You can make the Bible say anything you want to say by taking it away from its context, stripping it from its meaning and from its surrounding text of Scripture, and isolate it and stand upon it and be doctrinally wrong. You have to divide it. There are extremes that come from people who read the Bible. Why? Because they'll take this text and they'll make it a stump and they'll ignore other scriptures. Listen and simply turn a deaf ear to them because they found something that agrees with them that they like personally and they choose to stand upon it alone. No, the Bible is given to us as the Word of God and we are to study that we not be ashamed so that we rightly divide it. And so a vessel of honor is meet in our relationship to the purity of the word that comes out. What did Paul say? He said, we do not handle the word of God, listen, dishonestly, nor walk in craftiness, and we do not handle the word of God deceitfully. We rightly divide it. We want it to come out exactly as God taught it, and we want it to be pure, and so we want to be a worthy vessel for God to use as he sends the message of God's great power, God's healing power, God's saving power, God's redeeming power. We want it to come through the vessel, and listen, that vessel will be clean and have character so that it comes out the way it went in and not have man's fingerprints and his dirty hands all over it. And so Peter said, you know what? That's a worthy vessel. That's walking worthy the vocation which we're called. He said, you become meat for the master's use. You know why? Because in the process of receiving it and giving it out, it was not stamped to listen with the corruption of man's flesh and of his wisdom and of his lust and his carnality and of his desires all mixed in with it so that what you got out sure ain't what God put in it. Now, that becomes quite a challenge for us. You know why? Because we have likes and dislikes. Because we have desires. And because we have failures. We have failures. We have weaknesses. We have faults. We've made some mistakes along the way. We've done some things we shouldn't have done. And we're to come to God to confess those. We're to get clean. And we are not to allow any lingering of justification in the cup. When you come to God to repent of your sins, listen, pour it all out and ask God to wash it down to the very core. Don't let some of that stuff linger as a defense or justification. Oh, listen, but just pour it all out. Pour it out. There are times, listen, when you and I have a tendency to defend some of our failures. Now, I'll tell you what to do. Just go ahead and pour it all. Pour it all out and then let God wash it. You know why? If you don't, it's going to contaminate what comes through. It's going to contaminate. You know what? You know what we have a tendency to do if we don't get that cup clean? We start majoring on other people's sin and we dismiss our own.
Yeah.
Because it passed through the cup, and guess what? There was still some junk left in it. Are you following me? Are you following? There's still some junk left in that you didn't get out. You said, get it out. Let God cleanse it. Paul said, this will make you a vessel of honor. This is the kind of vessel that will be meet for the master's use. This is what it is to walk worthy of the vocation you've been called. God called you to do something. You know what that is? Take the word of God to the world. And listen, to be worthy of that vocation is not to bring corruption to it, but let it pass through pure and clean. Listen, to make sure it's running flow. Who is that? Brother Cliff. Brother Cliff changed out his water heater. I hope when you got done, you let that water run a little bit. You know why? Because it's contaminated. Stir up a bunch of mess. And if we knew what was in the bottom of our hot water heater. But anyway, that's another conversation. But you stir that mess up. And listen, you have to let it run until it runs clean. Whenever they come by, if you have city water and they're doing some work on it, they'll let you know you need to run your water. Need to run it. And they want you to boil your water. boil your water. You know, next 24 hours, boil your water if you're going to use it. Now listen, we know we got commandments. Listen, God wants to use you as a conduit and wants you to maintain the purity of the life-giving flow without any corruptions that come from men and their desires, men from their lust, men from their corruption, men because, listen, they're defending or justifying things that are wrong. Get it clean, get it washed out, get it pure so that it flows and flows clean. Let me give it real quick, we're out of time. And that was, believe it or not, the introduction. All right. I'll give them to you quick. The vessels of dishonor, you know what they do? They water down or trivialize sin. I'm going to tell you something. God has some strong things to say about sin, doesn't he? Then you know what you and I will do? Well, it has some strong things to say about sin. You know, because God does. Right? Our attitudes, how we relate it. I'm not talking about being mean. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Always the love of God. But listen, not trivializing sin. No, God don't. You're his vessel. You shouldn't either, right? Not to trivialize it. Now listen, a vessel of dishonor, you know what he does? He tarnishes the Savior. You know what's happening in our world today? Jesus, the Holy Son of God, God in human flesh, the Savior of the world, shed his precious blood upon Calvary. He was God and man. He was divine. He was the Savior. He is God. He's the only Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is the loving one. He's the only one. He's the Holy One. But now you know what's happened? Somewhere along the pipeline, he's become now just a good man, a great teacher, great prophet, great example. Oh no, something happened in the line. Something happened in the conduit. Somewhere along the line, from what the Word of God says, now he's been demoted. Now from the lofty goal of having a name above every name, now he's just added along with several other names of great leaders and great religious individuals. His purity. Now listen, his precious blood, what he did on the cross. Listen, a vessel of dishonor. Listen, he trivializes sin, tarnishes the Savior. Listen, a vessel of dishonor tampers with the Scripture. Many people, listen, have given to the demands of society to adopt the modern perverted translations to open the door to question sound doctrine. If you think those things are written to make it easier to read, listen, you ain't got sense, get out of the rain. There was a plan and purpose behind it. It was to alter the doctrine of what our King James Bible said. I can prove that if you want to prove it. Most people turn a deaf ear because they don't want to hear it. It's easily proved. I can show you. There's some people walk around with a Bible, and if you open the front page, look at the editors, one of the contributing editors was a lesbian. What do you think she's going to put on the Bible, and what's going to be her stamp? Huh? You say, well, most people walk around here, preacher, they don't know that stuff. They don't want to know it, because you tell them they're going to be offended. Their decision wasn't intellectual research for the truth. Listen, it was a moral convenience because that's what we use and that's what our church uses. Well, that don't make it right. Huh? That don't make it right. And then those who treasure the superficial. A vessel of dishonor. You know what he does? He treasures the superficial. And he takes the Word of God, but when it comes out, it has a different message to it. It has a different ring to it. Listen, he uses the Bible to exploit man's covetousness. Man's carnality, make merchandise of people. Paul warned to Timothy about it. He said they were professing that material gain was godliness. You know what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, make it plain. All right. Listen, send me your seed gift of $1,000 as a show of faith, and God's going to take care of all your troubles and all your trials and all your problems. And some would preach and teach somewhere along the way. Something happened to the conduit. Listen, that it was never the will of God for a man to be sick or never suffer, never have any hardship. Your problem is just a lack of faith. And if you get the faith thing settled, God's going to give you a perfect life. It ain't going to happen in this flesh, friend. This is never going to be heaven. Okay? Heaven's coming. The flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. One knucklehead said, if you had enough faith, you'd never die. It's important a man wants to die at this judgment. Why don't you read your Bible before you preach it?
And you know what? He's got a big following. He's on TV. He's got several thousand people in church and tens of thousands listening to him on TV. You'd think somebody read the Bible once in a while and just say, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. I don't know about that." You see, a vessel of dishonor, he treasures the superficial. He takes the Bible, instead of the spiritual message that he brings, listen, he makes merchandise of people, and listen, creates a bondage to them. And then the last one is the taint of the salvation of God. We have today, listen, vessels of dishonor who now, somewhere along the line, from the simple, clear message of God's way of salvation, it's become complicated. And now there's a bunch of additions to it such that there's a bondage of legalism, and there's a step-by-step process of all these things you've got to do in order to earn your way to salvation and find approval with God. And listen, somehow the simple, clear message that God saves a sinner and whosoever will come to Christ, God will save him. Somehow it got complicated along the way. And now it's got all these steps and all these procedures and processes and things we got to do. Puts man in bondage. Reminds me of the little cartoon we have in our school materials about motivation, and it's got the little man sitting on the horse and buggy. He's got the mule out there pooking the cart. He's got the fishing pole with the string and the carrot's always just out of reach. And the incentive is for the mule to keep walking because he's trying to get the carrot. You know, that's what people do when they make merchandise of others. They take salvation hanging out on the string. Guess what? You keep doing what we say. You get close. Get close. No, you're not there yet. Get close. Not there. And always just a little further away. You ain't never probably able to get that carrot. That's the bondage of legalism. That's the bondage of those who have taken God's simple message of salvation and perverted it somewhere along in the process. You see, God wants you to be a vessel of honor. It is suitable. It is appropriate. It makes you worthy of the vocation we're called. Whatever God says, that's what He wants repeated. Huh? Is that simple and plain enough? Whatever God said, that's what He wants repeated. Okay? I know you're tempted. We're all tempted. Well, let's make a little addition. Let's make some subtractions. Let's add some of our reasoning. Let's add some of our skill. Let's add some of our color commentary to it. No. God said what He meant. Right? He wants you to pour it forth just as He poured it in you, a vessel of honor.